this morning and tonight, I just want to yield to the Holy Spirit and lean on his shoulders and upon his wings and trust him to deploy me as a vessel and a tool to execute his plan for somebody's life. And he said to me also, he said, I'm going to heal many. I'm going to heal many. Now, I don't know whether it will be this morning service or tonight. I'm just going to yield. And I didn't come with a particular message, even though I can preach many things. I'm just yielding. I have things to guide me, but I'm yielding. I'm yielding. I'm yielding to the Spirit. I'm yielding because I have learned by experience over the years that it is him. It is him that rides and leads and guides the church. And I have learned by experience that the Father won't speak until the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And I've learned by experience that Jesus will not operate until the Spirit came upon him. And he kept saying, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. I am the Word made flesh, but I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. And he said to the apostles before he left, he said, you've been with me. You've seen me walk upon the Sea of Galilee, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. You've seen me cast out devils. But I did it by the help of the Holy Spirit. And he said, don't even try going out there to be my witnesses or my ambassadors until the one that helped me comes to you, the Holy Ghost. We can't do without him. And I worry a lot about this generation, how we are structured and how everything of us is orderly and is great because God is the God of order. And yet, you can't find the Holy Spirit. I was in a church and the music was great. And I was sitting down and everybody was rejoicing and I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't getting it. And I said, Lord, what is wrong here? And he said, son, what you are hearing is skill. There's a difference between skill and the presence. Church, when the presence is there, you do so little, and yet you end up with much. So let's begin, ladies and gentlemen, to learn his presence. Because there is something about the presence. When the presence is there, the adversaries must take their hands off. They have to. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes and see how it goes. Tonight, one of the things I want us to deal with, apart from what I preach on, is to make some time to deal with what the Spirit keeps talking to me and telling me from the beginning of this year. Two things. He said, you have to deal with conspiracies this year. Conspiracies. Say conspiracies. Then he said, you have to deal with the thorn. Say the thorn in the flesh. Everyone here is dealing with the thorn. And tonight we want to make some time to come against the thorn. And I'll show you instances in the life of so many that had to deal with the thorn. And what a thorn is. Something in the flesh that pierces to make life uncomfortable. To cause inner conflict and uneasiness. Having everything working on one side and yet leaping on the other side. And never have a full sense of satisfaction or fulfillment. Always lacking something, always struggling with something. Never have 100% victory. It's like every time something is questioning or an enemy or an adversary is raising an objection. But tonight, let it be overturned. Somebody say overturn.
Overturn.
I like to speak to you this morning about perception. Somebody say perception.
Perception.
Perception has to do with how you think or process. And that determines how you see. And perception determines attitude towards life. And attitude towards life determines the outcome of one's life or the outcome of one's circumstances. How do you perceive? There are two kinds of people in this world, an optimist and a pessimist. You are an optimist or a pessimist. You can't be both. I was told by a true story, a nation in the Middle East had a plan to build over 2,000 affordable homes. And they invited companies to bid for it. And everyone that came said, this country have too much sun. There's too much heat and you don't have water. So it's an impossible project. Everybody came, said the same thing. And one company came from South Korea and said, number one, you have too much sand, so we don't have to buy sand. You have a lot of heat, so we don't have to work during the day, we'll work at night. You don't have water, so we'll bring water from somewhere else. They got the job. Turn to somebody and say, are you an optimist or a pessimist? The Bible said in Proverbs 23 and the 7th verse, that as a man thinketh, so he is. Turn to somebody and say, you are what you think. If you think you are nobody, you are. And if you think you are somebody, you are somebody. Because what you think will command. It is biologically proven that the unconsciousness commands the consciousness. That's why sometime I'll be there years ago. And after I fast and praying for a long time, I will hear some old songs like Killing Me Softly. And I said, killing me what? Where is this ungodly residue coming from? And the spirit will say, it is in the subconsciousness. Deprogram it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I deprogram and command to be erased from my subconsciousness, the fourth dimension, the residues of the old man. Come out in the name of Jesus. Sometime you'll be there and some strange songs, worship songs from nowhere will just come and you find yourself singing it. Where is it? It is in the subconsciousness. That's why it's dangerous when you are going to bed at night to leave the television on. Because everything, I'm playing a song of an old singer, B.J. Thomas. And there is a particular song among those songs that lifts me up. But this particular one is a negative one. I don't like it. He was talking about when he dies, what will happen. And among all the songs, this particular one comes up in my spirit, in my subconsciousness, without my consciousness permitting it to come. And I can tell why. Because the enemy is projecting something. And when the enemy is projecting something, he projects it into the subconsciousness, into the mind. Then the mind begins to attract and to invite things to empower that projection and thought for it to happen. And when I hear that song, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I don't receive it. I say, in the name of Jesus. B.J. Thomas is full of the Holy Ghost and he sings by the Holy Ghost, but I don't accept this song. I don't want it. And I say, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out. And you will not attract and invite anything to do with premature death to come my way. I don't accept it. So you have to be careful what you hear and what goes into your mind and what determines your thought patterns and the way you think. If a teacher says to a leader, and I've dealt with people where their teacher said to them that you are not good at maths, period. And they fail in maths throughout their life because the teacher said you are not good at it. Why did it happen? Because the words of the teacher, a teacher is one that have authority over you. And so that goes into effect. And that thing becomes a programming in your mind. And it will make sure that you are programmed to fail in that subject. When fathers and mothers will speak negative words over their kids, it has a negative consequence over those children because of their authority over them. So you have to be very careful what goes into you and what you listen to. I don't listen to every music and I don't watch any movies, horror movies. There are some things I don't pay attention to because as soon as you open yourself up to it, they will come in. So you got to be careful of what is programming your thought pattern and how you approach things. The difference between a stumbling block or stone and a stepping stone has to do with perception. What causes one to stumble can also cause another to step over. It all has to do with how you see it. And how you see it has to do with how you are programmed to perceive, or how you are programmed to process things in life. Perception is very important. It determines one's attitude. See, I hear you. Hey. Come with me to Jeremiah 1, chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Jeremiah chapter 1.
Jeremiah chapter 1.
10 to 12.
10 to 12.
Uh-huh.
See.
He says, see.
I have this day.
Somebody says, see.
See.
Tell somebody, perceive.
Perceive.
Tell somebody, have clarity.
Have clarity.
God said, go ahead, look at it.
See. I have this day set thee over
the nations. He said, I what?
I have this day.
Did he say, I will? By what? Past tense. That means it's already done. And God said, it's done, but I want you to see it. Because the fact that it's done is not enough. You have to see what is already done to determine your attitude. To determine your sense of direction in life, you must see. Because if you don't see, you can't have what has been done. See, I hear you.
Yeah.
Tell somebody, see.
See.
Go ahead.
I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdom.
You see, he said, this is what I have done. Not I am going to do. I've already done it. I've given you supremacy, dominion, to govern nations and to govern kingdoms. That you will walk into nations, you will walk into kingdoms, and you will uproot. You will overthrow, you will abolish and demolish. You will set things in order. And you have my backing. It's a done deal. It's already done. It's not yet to be done or going to be done, it's already done. But you have to get it. Say, get it.
Get it.
Go ahead.
To root out and to pull down,
uh-huh.
and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant.
So you have a responsibility given to you from God concerning the destinies of nations and of kingdoms. And it's very powerful. Not too many people walk in this anointing. Not too many. Some of those who walk in this anointing are gone. I believe there are only few left. The mantle, the anointing, to impact and to influence the destinies of nations and kingdoms. Not too many walk in this anointing. This has nothing to do with how many people you have in your church. This has to do with divine ordination. This has to do with the judicial determinations and the executive decisions of eternity. Somebody say, talk to me.
Talk to me.
But he said, see it. Go ahead.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
uh-huh.
Jeremiah, what seest thou?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree.
Stop there. You see? Now he said, see. Then he came back and said, after telling you to see, what are you seeing? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? Look at verse 12.
Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
You see, the acceleration of the manifestation of your promise has to do with your ability to see. He said, because you have well seen, now I will accelerate my promise. The reason why the purposes of God for people are put on a hold is because of their inability to see. God says, I have set you to go on the right, see it, and they are going to the left. So God said, I can't make it happen. I'm waiting till you get it. Until you see it, you are putting a hold on things. Turn to somebody and say, what seest thou?
What seest thou?
Turn to somebody else and say, what are you seeing?
What are you seeing?
It all has to do with perception. It all has to do with how you see. That is what determines your attitude. I'm telling you. Because life is full of challenges. And life is not fair. And life don't give you what you desire, what you wish for, what you want. It gives you what you fight for. See, I hear you.
I hear
you. You are better than where you are right now. And you are capable of things you have no idea of. You are. Tell somebody, you are capable of things you have no idea of. Tell somebody, you can master that situation. Tell somebody, you can override it. Tell somebody, you are not a victim. You are a victor. Tell somebody, say, you are not.
You are not
a casualty.
A casualty.
You are a survivor.
You are a survivor.
Tell somebody, this thing.
This thing
cannot kill you.
Cannot kill you.
Whatever is meant for evil, program in the womb of 2019, let it be overturned.
Overturned.
Say, I hear you.
I hear you.
Sit down for 2 minutes. Any agenda and conspiracy on the calendar of Satan, where you are concerned in the year 2019, whatever the agenda is, whatever the conspiracy is, by divine authority, let it boomerang.
Boomerang.
Let it boomerang.
Boomerang.
Somebody say boomerang, boomerang, boomerang,
boomerang, boomerang, boomerang.
Sit down for 2 minutes. I will hasten to perform what I have promised you, because your perception is right. And if you see right, then your attitude will be right. So it all has to do with how you perceive. And how you see. Numbers 13:33.
And I read. And then we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.
We were in our eyes as what?
Grasshoppers.
And so were we in whose eyes? In whose eyes? The way your enemy sees you has all to do with the way you see yourself. The problem is not your enemy. The problem is not without. The problem is within. That's why kingdoms fall from within and they rise from within. If we can correct it inside, we can handle anything out there. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. If you see yourself as a nobody, you would walk and have an attitude of a nobody. If you see yourself as a somebody, you have an attitude of a somebody towards life. Do you hear me, somebody? The problem is not how the enemy sees you. That's why I said, say, I am a victor and not a victim. I am a survivor and not a casualty. Say, I hear you. That's why the minor prophet in Micah said the other day, he said, my enemy, rejoice not over me, for when I fall, I will rise again. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody, rise again, rise again.
Rise again, rise again.
The Bible said there is hope for a tree. Even for a tree, there is hope for a tree. For when it is cut down by the smell or scent of water, it will spring up again. Tell somebody, I will spring up again.
Spring up again.
Hey, I'm coming back again. Come on, somebody. Say, I'm coming back again. I'm coming back again. Tell somebody, I'm relentless. I'm relentless.
Relentless.
Sit down for 2 minutes. You see, the enemy you are dealing with is relentless. He never gives up. And the other day, a demon said, I will go back to my house from whence I came. And when I return, I will scan the house. Say, scan it.
Scan it.
And he said, if it's empty and if it's not full of the Holy Ghost and the Word, I will invite 7 stronger demons and wicked than I, to make sure this time around, when we take over, nothing can drive us out. But this was the word, I will go back. Say, demonic, come back.
Demonic, come back.
Talk to me, say, demonic, come back.
Demonic, come back.
It means that the habits of the past, the demons of old, that had power over you have not relent. They are looking for an occasion to come back again. And so in the name of Jesus, you have to learn to say, in no demon of my past coming back again. Hey! Somebody say, I block demonic comeback. Say, I interrupt demonic comeback. In the name of Jesus, say, I deny the enemy, the openings, and the occasion to come back. There is no place. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. He's looking for an opening. Hey! Hey! I deny him that opening. I deny him that opening. I strip him of that opening. In the name of Jesus. He's looking for an opening. It could be anger. It could be insecurity. It could be selfishness. It could be unforgiveness. It can be an attitude of arrogance, intellectual arrogance or pride. It can be anything. It can be bitterness. It can be fear. It can be the quest for recognition and acceptance. It can be the quest for relevance, the quest to be known, to be the best. Just little things. And those are openings that can allow the demons of the past to come back again. And this time around, when they come, they are not sparing you. They want to make sure that this time around, you can't override them. So they come with reinforcement. We block demonic reinforcement. We override demonic reinforcement. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And because we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, we acted like grasshoppers. So they also saw us like grasshoppers. Can you demonstrate how grasshoppers act? I don't know how they act. But the fact that they saw them as grasshoppers has all to do with the attitude of a grasshopper. Yeah. If they acted like a sheep, they would have seen them as sheep, because they would have acted like meh, meh, and they would have seen them as meh. That's what it is. It has all to do with how you perceive yourself, and it has to do with how you've been programmed. Today, I pray that you'll be reprogrammed.
Name of Jesus.
I pray that you'll be deprogrammed.
Name of Jesus.
And reprogrammed in the right way. You see, I deal with a lot of leaders and I deal with a lot of people, and I'm very observant, and sometimes people underestimate me because I can know you without you knowing that I know you. Yeah. I know people more than they think I know them. Sometimes people say to me, Dad, do you know this? And I say, yeah, I know. And they say, what do you know? And I tell them, and they are shocked. So why do you allow them? And I said, it's very important for you to know. It's good for you, not for them. And I said, but never show them what you know about them. And don't let them know you know what you know about them. Let them always think you don't know. Because by that, they play more into your hands. When they think you don't know who they are, they play into your hands. As soon as they know you know, they'll begin to change. Matthew 16, from the 13th to the 20th verse. And I want us to pray. I don't want to say too much.
Matthew 16.
We're coming tonight.
Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of the Caesarea Philippi,
uh-huh.
He asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Uh-huh.
14 says, and they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
some Elias, and others Jeremiah.
Was he John the Baptist? Come on, talk to him. Was he John the Baptist?
No.
Was he Elias?
No.
Jeremiah?
No.
One of the old prophets?
No.
Why were they saying what they were saying? Come on, talk to me. Mm-hmm. It has to do with their perception. How the process, program them to determine how they perceive things. And they missed it. Tell somebody, do you know you can miss it in life? You can. Yes, you can. I've seen so many people miss it. I've seen people I raise, they even miss it about me. And they feel very confident that they know me. And I laugh. I laugh. Because I know why they perceive me the way they perceive me. They missed it. And yet, to them, it's gospel truth. Yeah. They said he was John the Baptist, but he wasn't. So your confession has a lot to do with the way you process. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17 said, Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Stop here. We need a divine infusion. Say divine infusion.
Divine infusion.
Say divine download.
Divine download.
From heaven.
Heaven.
Yeah. To change our perception. Because Peter was confused. He didn't know who he was dealing with. And because of what he was called to be, God decided through the intercession of Jesus to give him divine infusion. And God turned off his light and he began to see differently. One of the things I've been dealing with this year, apart from the thorn and the conspiracy of the enemy, is the veil. Say the veil.
The veil.
Because when the enemy wants to destroy us, one of the things he does is to veil us. Mm-hmm. He veils you so you don't see what he's doing. And by veiling you means he desensitizes your sensitivity. So your prophetic senses can pick what he's doing until he's through with you. But this year, any attempt to desensitize your sensitivity,
yes,
let it be arrested.
Be arrested.
Say, I hear you.
I hear you.
Come with me to Genesis 13, 14 and 15.
Genesis 13, 14 and 15.
Uh-huh.
And I read. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him.
Say Lot.
Lot.
The word Lot means a veil. Say a veil.
A veil.
Until you are separated from your Lot, there are possibilities of the future. You will never see it. But I pray in the name of Jesus that 2019, every Lot will live your life.
In the name of Jesus.
That you'll be separated from Lot this year.
Jesus.
By the sword of the Lord, let there be a separation between you and the Lot in your life this year. Say yes.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, say yes.
Yes.
You see, the enemy will always position a Lot in our lives. And sometimes the Lot are very close to us. I'm telling you. A preacher came to me the other day and said, I've been having this dream. And every time I dream, I see a snake sleeping next to me. And he said, you are the papa. What do you think it is? And I said, I don't know. He said, papa, you need to help me. I said, not this one. I can't help you on this one. You want me to tell you what the snake is? You are married, and you've been, anytime you dream, you see a snake sleeping with you and your bed, and you are asking me to give you the interpretation? No, 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 no. C'est n'est pas possible. You want me to tell you, so you go and tell her that Papa said you are the snake? No. I've learned by experience. This one, I'm not touching it. But I know that if he doesn't deal with it, he will never see and fulfill the original plan of God for his life. He may be grounded the rest of his life and die in it. And I know people like that. They will die in it. Yeah, they will die in it. Because they lack the spiritual audacity to confront their lords and to break loose and free from their lords to fulfill the purpose and the reason for which they were born. They rather choose to be in the good books of men than to fulfill the eternal destinies for which they were born. And it is their lot in this life. I can't help you. Molaya wakadili asa. You know something? I hit something. Lift up your hands. Aruda kasis. Kuroda madiasa. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sadakahas. Ilamadu kandi sataha. Dei kidalu talahaki amata. Bambari ande. Kidala kadumba. Sidili ikibahan. Dei kibala duria. Kedabahakadia. Seda lakunda baha, sidili kipara kadi, mayando kabahaka, ikanda lamaha, dei kibakubala, ikanda bakaka, dei kalabakanda baha, kimbakada ha, mayande lebo kubala kadi, dei kitara kasa, kanda lamahandala. Now, sit down for 2 minutes. Sit down for 2 minutes. Finish the reading, please. 14 and 15, Genesis 13.
And he said, lift up now thine eyes and look from where thou art.
You see, until Lot was separated from him, God wouldn't speak to him. God said, I'm not going to waste my anointing and my time in speaking to him. Because he will never get it. He won't get it. He won't get it because he's been ensnared by Lot. It's an emotional issue. And that is a problem with a lot of us. We are ensnared by our emotions. And emotions are very powerful. This was a family issue. And the enemies were using what was so close to him, his nephew, his brother's son. It was an emotional issue here. And he wouldn't touch it. And God said, until you are ready to deal with it, I'm not ready to talk to you. And for years, God wouldn't speak. Because he knew that no matter what he said, Abraham wouldn't get it because he wasn't willing to address the issue and to deal with that which had emotionally ensnared him. It was a family issue, very, very close. It was a tongue. And the very moment and day he dealt with it, God said, you are now ready. Let me talk to you. And God said, all along, over the years, you've always been close to the possibilities of the future. Don't go anywhere. Stand where you are. And just from where you are, see the possibilities of the future. Lift up your eyes. You've been looking in the wrong direction. You've been looking down. Now look up. Look around you. See the possibilities. Tell somebody your future is bright.
Future is bright.
Tell somebody your present circumstances and the threatenings. The contentions, the intimidations, the fears, the fiery darts cannot stop the possibilities of the future. Tell somebody, you are the only one who can stop the possibilities of the future. So God said, from where you are, from where thou art.
Said northwest. And southwest.
Yeah, from where you are, look to the north, to the south. Mm-hmm.
Said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
This is bigger than you. Tell somebody, this is bigger than you. Tell somebody, this is about the next generation. It's about the next generation. God said, Abraham, from where you are, from where thou art, lift up your eyes and look. And this is what he said. He said, as far as your eyes can see. Tell somebody, as far as.
As far as.
Your eyes can see.
Your eyes can see.
Tell somebody, there are no limits. There are no limits. No limits. Tell somebody, there are no limits. As far as your eyes can what? You can have it. Say, you can have it. You can have it. There are no limits. Today, may the limits be broken. May the restrictions be broken. May the embargoes be lifted by divine authority. I command the embargoes to be lifted. Say, lifted, lifted,
lifted.
You see, sit down for 2 minutes. One of the things nations do when they want to cripple you and incapacitate you, they take sanctions against you. Yeah, they do it to nations. So you may be rich in oil, you name it, gold, diamond, whatever. They take sanctions against you to cripple you. And in the realm of the spirit, the enemy takes sanctions against people, individuals and churches. I've seen churches. I've been there, and I can tell that unless the sanctions are lifted, they are not going anywhere. And they are the sanctions. They are sanctions from the underworld kingdom. May the sanctions taken against you from your father's house, your mother's house, and the environment wherein you live, I command them to be lifted. Let the sanctions be removed. Sit down for 2 minutes. There are businesses that are suffering financially. There are churches suffering financially because sanctions have been taken against them. And I said something last week in Evangel Church, that if you give offerings and you are not a tither, the devourer has the right to devour your harvest. Yeah, he can. He has the right. And if you are a tither and you don't give an offering, you don't have a harvest. Because the tithe don't guarantee harvest. It's your offerings that guarantees your harvest. See, I hear you. And the tithe is not about money. It's a protocol. It's a protocol under the law of first things. Say first things. And so let me explain it to you. Yesterday somebody came and gave me £1,000. And I needed to do something. So what I did was I removed £200 out of it immediately. And I gave it to Bishop Crazy. And I said, this is my tithe and offering. Please set it aside for me. £200. £100 is my tithe, and another £100 is my offering. So £800 is mine. The £200 is not mine. Now, what happens when I tithe? When I tithe, because it's a principle of honor. Say a principle of honor.
Principle.
Talk to me. Say tithing is a principle of honor. So whenever I tithe, I give God authorization and acknowledge his right of ownership over the 90. The 10 gives him the right of ownership and authorization to deal with the devourer on my behalf. So when I give him the 10, I give him access to the 90 to defend it, protect it, and multiply the 90. If I don't give him the 10 and I spend, watch this, if I had spent out of the £1,000 given to me yesterday before I tithe 10%, it's not acceptable. Yeah, it's not acceptable. Because it's not the 10% in the sense of the money that God is interested in. It's the principle of first things. Say honor.
Honor.
Like the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. and it shall be well with you. It's a simple principle. If you want to succeed in life and you want to live long, honor your father and honor your mother. Simple as that. It's a protocol. You can tell me, well, I'm not under Old Testament anymore. And you can say, well, I'm under grace, so I can dishonor my father. You are joking. You are joking. You can't dishonor your father and your mother and quote scriptures and talk about grace. You are in violation of divine ordinance. Are you hearing me? Your father and your mother's blessing is very important. Very, very important. So if I had used the 1,000 pounds, and after using the 1,000 pounds, I gave my tithe and my offering, it's not tithe. God is not interested in that, because I haven't honored him. And he said, I will honor those who honor me. And for those who dishonor me, I will least esteem them. It's a principle of honor. So please, stop this old mentality of tithing is Old Testament. Tithing was before the Old Testament. It was before the Mosaic Covenant. And stop being deceived. People say, well, you know, tithe is Old Testament. And then they talk about how tithe is after the order, the Levitical order. No, tithe is after the Melchizedek order. Not after the Aaronic order, and not after the Levitical order. And then I marvel how people accept the fact that under the Old Testament, we fasted, we prayed, there was praise, there was worship, there was communion, there was healing, sanctification, purity. Under the New Testament, there is communion, there is fasting, there is praying, there is praise, there is worship, we have communion. We do everything that was practiced under the old, but it is only when it comes to tithe, we subject it to the Old Testament. You know why? This is the reason. Because man is a rebellion nature. And it came from the Garden of Eden, where the devil convinced us to be independent of God. So grace rarely helps that in attitude of indiscipline for people to just be free. I'm a free being. I'm led by the Spirit. I give what I want to give. Hear me? Don't be fooled. The tithe is not 11%, nor 12%, nor 9%. It's 10. And the reason why it's 10, the number 10 is the number of redemption. So God said, you have 10 toes, 10 fingers. When you bring the 10, you redeem the 90. And you give me authorization to deal with the devourer. And dealing with the devourer is within my power, not you. And I haven't given you the right to deal with the devourer, who is Satan. I deal with him. But before I deal with him, you must honor me first. And I have chosen. And God means what he says, and he says what he means. That's why Genesis 22, he said, give me thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Specifics. He said, the offering, you do whatever you want to do. But as for the tithe, I have chosen what I want as God. That if you honor me with 10, I will do what is required of me as God. You don't do it, I'm not entitled to protect the 90. Simple as that. You can argue with anyone you want to. Listen, I've seen men of God, prophets, apostles, bishops, archbishops, that don't tithe. And I've seen them struggle with their financial life. And I don't say anything. I leave it alone. Because it's a matter of perception and doctrine and how people believe and how they are wired. So I don't fight it. And I will not stop dealing with you as a friend or a brother, even if your doctrine is wrong. But I won't believe your doctrine. So don't be fooled. Don't let the devil fool you and tell you, well, we're under grace. And listen, I have never seen any man of God or woman of God or a child of God who dishonored their father and their mother and lived long and succeeded. They all died prematurely. And the principle of honoring your father and your mother began under the Old Testament, not the New Testament. And don't tell me that grace overrides that. It doesn't.